ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। इन द प्रीवियस श्लोका वी सॉ लक्ष्मीधरा सेइंग स्वरूपमेव मे सत्वम् न तु धर्मो न भस्त्ववत् मदन्यस्य सतो भावात् नहि सा जातिरिष्यते। सो माय वेरी नेचर इज सत्, सत् इज माय नेचर, इट इज नॉट ए धर्मा, धर्मा और इट्स नॉट ए क्वालिटी, इट इज पार्ट ऑफ मी। एंड ही गेव एग्जांपल ऑफ आकाशम, दैट इज घटाकाशम मटाकाशम। सो द डिफरेंसेस बिटवीन घटाकाशम एंड मटाकाशम इज नॉट that there are two akasham, but it is upadhi bhedam. Of course, upadhi is a concept which has been criticized by Madhvacharya. So all those can be conveniently ignored. So upadhi, Ishvara, Krishna himself speaks about upadhi with respect to upadhi in the 15th chapter. About Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha and all. The same concept, like we can understand there. So, Swarupam, my very nature is Sat. We don't need to enter into a lot of logic and all. Of course, Lakshmidhara has explained to us. But we don't need to enter into any logic to understand that our very nature is existence. Existence means existence beyond any limitation. Existence beyond any kind of change, any kind of limitation, as earlier mentioned, or finiteness, we can say. Why? It's a matter of experience. So experience, and this experience is not like worldly experience. Worldly experience is something which keeps changing. So today we see our house, tomorrow we see the house as something else. Our house gets changed a little bit, renovation. So we renovate the house and things change. It's not the same. Here it's not the case. Here it is always the same. It is ever the same. And many of us can accept the existence of the world or experience of the world to be true, to be real. The world to be real, but when it comes to experience of our own existence, that is when doubts arise, that is when people ask doubt, that is when people ask a lot of questions with respect to Vedanta. Vedanta is the most logical, most experienceable, if there is a word like that, philosophy. There is nothing that can stand beyond Vedanta. Vedanta is the most logical. Vedanta is something which can be experienced at any point of time. Vedanta is something which is eternal. It never changes. Since ages, as Amma always says, since ages, Mahatmas have said the same thing over and over again. Tejomay Ananda is in Coimbatore. He is speaking about Amrita Bindu Upanishad. So if we take Upanishads, Amrita Bindu Upanishad is an important Upanishad in that it has few very important shlokas from Yoga Vasishta, as well as it has shlokas that Shankara refers in his Bhashya. Of course, opponents might say that it is more Advaitic in nature, but it's a very important Upanishad. So in that Upanishad, we find the Upanishad in the beginning itself giving the shloka of Manayeva Manushyanam Karanam Bandhamokshayoho Bandhaya Vishayasaktam Muktaihi Nirvishayam Smritam. Mind alone is the cause of bondage. and liberation. The mind which seeks worldly objects, the mind which fails to apprehend Ishvara, apprehend Brahman, that is in bondage. And the mind which apprehends Ishvara, the mind which apprehends the world to be Namarupam, not real, that is in liberation. So this shloka is a direct take from Yoga Vasishta. It's a matter of it's a matter of argument as to Yoga Vasishta was first or this Upanishad was first. So that's something which we don't have to worry about. So that's why Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. One truth has been explained in many ways. Eka Eva Hi Bhuta Atma Bhute Bhute Vyavasthitaha. So it's one self that is there in each and every being. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Raddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Agnaryataiko Bhuvanam Pratishto Rupam Rupam Pratirupo Babhuva. So Kathopanishad, Gita, all those say the same thing. So that means Vedanta is eternal. There's nothing that can be changed in Vedanta. Then how come people write a lot? Writing is different concepts, different ways, different analogies, different stories. Stories can change. So in order to prove something, we can give 10 stories. In order to prove something, we can give 10 logic. Maybe new logic. But the truth remains the same. Whatever is to be proven remains the same. So in ancient times, so how to prove that the hill has fire? Simple. See if smoke is there. If smoke is there, then the fire is there. Anumanam. Today we don't need Anumanam. Why? You can have direct pratyaksham. How pratyaksham? Put a webcam there or a security camera. And if that doesn't work, the fire alarm, that detect fire detector, smoke detector, and control the smoke detector from elsewhere. So it's very easy. So there is no Anumanam required today. You can detect fire directly. So the way to prove that fire is there is different. There are different ways to prove that fire exists. That has changed in due course of time, but the truth still remains the same. Ages ago, Bhagavatam gives the logic of Anvaya Vyatirekam. Anvaya Vyatireka Abhyam Yat Syat Sarvatra Sarvada. In order to know the truth, what do you need? You just have to do Anvaya Vyatireka Yukti Anvayam and Vyatireka Yukti, and through that find out what exists beyond space, beyond time. Anvaya means when something is there. When A is there, B is there. Vyatireka means when A is not there, B is not there. Which means that B is dependent on A. So B is not real. A is always there. So that means Anvaya Vyatirekam, the Jagat. Jagat is our matter of experience. From Jagat, Anumanam. From Jagat, go to the substratum of Brahman. If Brahman is there, Jagat is there. How do you know if Brahman is there, Jagat is there? Very simple. Why? Because Brahman is Sachidananda Lakshanam. Brahman is my own nature, Ahamasmi Sadabhami. So I exist. If I exist, the world is there. If I don't exist, the world doesn't exist. Okay, can we say that I don't exist and world doesn't exist? How do we experience that? You don't have to experience. You don't experience things. So when the weather station gives the alert of Hurricane Bill is coming, be careful. Nobody asks, okay, then give me proof that the Hurricane Bill is going to come. Proof. Oh, the proof is that its movement is like this. Okay, can you say for sure that the movement is like this? It will come this way? Maybe Hurricane Bill thinks, okay, let me take a U-turn and go back. I forgot something. I forgot my iPhone, so let me go back and get it. It can do that. We don't doubt it. So that means selective doubting. Selective doubting is the very nature of the mind. The mind doubts what it wants to doubt. The mind believes what it wants to believe. So here also it can be applied in Vedanta as well. So if I doesn't exist, I don't exist, the world will not exist. Definitely 100% sure. Oh, the world exists for that person. For me it doesn't exist, that person. Does that person exist if you don't exist? No, he doesn't. If he doesn't exist, then the world doesn't exist. It's not about another person. We don't go to office and ask, okay, if I work, will he get salary? We don't ask. Then we should go to the doctor, and the doctor should, doctor will take all the pills for the entire people in the world, saying that, okay, if I take, it is as good as the other person taking. So then we will all be saved, always. One person can take all the pills and then nobody else has to take. That's not how it works. So that means, if I don't, I am not there, the world will not be there. And even when the world is not there, I am there. I am there, aham asmi, sadabhami, I always shine. Even in the state of dreamless deep sleep, sushupti avastha, I am there. I am always there. So that means that logic anvaya vyatirekam that Bhagavatam gives, today it may be converted or made into some high, more anumanam. The anumanam that drishyatva, jagat is mithya. How do you know jagat is mithya? Drishyatvat. And then you can say, I am Brahman. Why? I am Brahman. Aham asmi sadavami. All those logic and lagavam. It is easier to assume that I am Brahman. And relating all the I to be Brahman. Rather than considering this I as a part of Brahman, as in Vishishtadvaita, or I being different from Brahman, dependent on Brahman, like in Dvaita. So, Lagavam, concept of simplicity that was introduced by the Navya-Nyaya system. So, logic might change, the way to prove something changes, but the truth still remains the same. So, that is why this question about truth remaining the same is something which is important, very vital. And that's why Krishna, after Krishna gives all the concepts, and not generic concepts but specific concepts for Arjuna to do action in the second and third chapter, then Arjuna might have this doubt as to, okay, you are giving something new, so I don't want it. So he says that imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave prah manurishvakave abhravit evam parampara praptamimam rajarshayo vidhu sakaleneha mahata yogo nashta parantapa saevadhyam mayatedhya yoga prokta puratana bhakto sime sakacheti rahasyam cheta uttamam rahasyam hi etad uttamam. Sorry. So this was given to me, given by me to Surya in the beginning. Surya passed it down from Manu, Ishvaku, and then it has come down. So it's not something that is newly there. It's the same truth that is there in the Shastras. That has been there since ages. So nothing has changed. So the truth remains. Truth always remains the same. So truth is eternal. Truth is ever remains the same. So Vedanta is not like any other sciences. Vedanta is kind of eternal. Vedanta always remains the same. Vedanta is something which is eternal, which is always there. The truth in Vedanta is the same. So, surupam eva me sattvam natu dharmo na bastvavat. So, this akasham of upadi, and other, all those things. Upadi will limit, upadi will change, upadi will make something finite, whereas this Vedantic truth, the truth of Vedanta, truth in Vedanta, Vedanta's Vishayam, subject of Brahman, is something which is infinite. And if it appears to be limited, if it seems to be limited, it is just a upadi bhedam. It is just upadi's various adjuncts. When adjuncts are there, it appears to be different. So if we wear an overcoat, we may look to be fat. If we wear skin tight jeans, then we may appear to be slim. So last week, one of my colleagues, he came to office, and when he came to office, he appeared to be slim. So we asked, two of us asked him, okay, did you reduce your weight a lot? So upadi might be different, upadi might change, but still the underlying principle remains the same. It remains unaffected, it remains ever the same, that Brahman. So, I am that Brahman. So, it is a matter of experience. So, Vedanta is not like other experiences. It is eternal. As we said, it is eternal. So that's about sattvam. So I exist always. It is a matter of experience. Okay. Sattvam is fine. But as Ramana Maharshi says, sattva bhasika chitkva vetara. So sat can be illumined only by chit. We saw Lakshmidhara himself speaking about that earlier as well. So sat can be illumined only by chit. Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is the light. So sat is existent. Existence, something, if it has to exist, there should be a light. So that means if Atman has to exist, Atman is okay, Atman is eternal, whatever you said is fine. You have proved that Atman is sat in nature. But what about chit? Atman has to have jnana ashrayatvam. So we saw sad ashrayatvam initially. So jnana ashrayatvam, Atman has to depend on jnanam. So or chaitanyam. If Atman doesn't depend on Chaitanya, then it becomes Anatma. So what is called Atma? What is Anatma? So Anatma, Anatma is something which doesn't have. Okay, of course, Vedantic way of Anatma and other way of Anatma is kind of different. So here, basically we can say, most of the opponent systems are systems which oppose Chaitanyam as one's nature, Atman's nature. They say that Jnanam or Chaitanyam is a quality, is a guna. So, Nyaya Shastra, if we read Tarka Sangraha, we can find Jnanam is a guna. Gunam. It's a quality. So, that is what is meant here. So, Atman has to have some kind of dependency on Jnanam. If not, if that's not the case, without jnanam, something will not always exist. So if something doesn't always exist, it cannot be the Atman, because Atman, it means eternal. So it will become like a ghatam. So anatma, it will become anatma. Anatma means, atma means eternal. Anatma means not eternal. So if jnanam is not there, then the atma becomes an anatma, which cannot be. Therefore, jnana ashrayatvam, dependency on jnanam is essential, is required. So for that, Lakshmidhara says, jnana ashrayatvam is not required. So the problem with jnana ashrayatvam is that jnana ashrayatvam means it is not jnana swarupam, it depends on jnanam. So like we saw, Atman depends on sattvam, but it's not sattvam. So that way, so ashrayatvam is, that is the meaning there. Dravyam, dravyas have gunas, guna ashrayatvam, dravyas are dependent on gunas. Of course, the other way, sorry, gunas are dependent on dravyas. I think interdependency would come there. I'm not very clear now about Nyaya Shastram and all. So, so Lakshmidhara says here that Atman doesn't have to depend on jnanam. Atman is jnanam. So why is Atman jnanam? Oh, Atman is jnanam, Atman is chit. Yes, Atman is chit. How do we know Atman is chit? Atman, simple thing is, chit cannot, chaitanyam or jnanam cannot be a gunam. Why can't jnanam be a gunam? Because sakshi cheta kevalo nirgunascha. Anadityat nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyayah. So anadi nirgunam, anadi, therefore nirgunam. Anadi means without any beginning, means without any antam, anantam. Anadi, anantam means gunas should not be there. If gunas is there, then entity becomes subject to change. If it is subject to change, it will die. So therefore paramatmayam avyayah, this paramatma is immutable, changeless, nirgunam. Of course, many people, many commentators interpret that nirgunam as without any bad gunam. That is a kind of a misinterpretation. Nirgunam is very simple, without any gunas. So the Atman cannot be with gunas. So we say that swarupam eva me jnanam. Swarupam eva me jnanam. My swarupam is jnanam. Na gunaha. Jnanam is not a gunam. Jnanam is not a gunam. Okay, before we enter into the logical analysis here, it's a simple matter of experience, as Ramana Maharshi says, sattva bhasika chitkva vetara sattaya hi chit. So if satta has to exist, chit should be there. So sat means eternal. If it has to be eternal, eternally chit has to be with it. What do we call things which are eternally together? There's no, being eternally together means one entity. No two people can be the same person. A and B are the same. A and B are the same. Only that will lead to the conclusion or lead to the statement that A and B are always together. Can there be two people together? Definitely no. Limitation, time, space, death, bodily limitation, mental limitation, all those will be there. So no two people can be together unless they are the same. So sattaya hichit. So sattva bhasika chitkva vetara, if sat is illumined only by chit, and sat has to be eternal, chit has to be eternally with sat. Chit can be eternally with sat only if chit is sat. So sattaya hi chit. So sat is chit, chittaya hi aham. Therefore aham chit. Why am I chit? Vigrahendriya pranaditama nahameka sat tajadam hi asat. So vigraha indriya pranaditama, all the panchakoshas, everything is not me, because they are jadam. They are jadavastu, they are insentient, they cannot experience their existence. I can experience my own existence. I don't need a Vedantic guru, a Sadguru like Amma to come to me and tell you exist. No Mahatma will come and tell you, you exist. You don't go to a Mahatma and say, Amma, tell me, like, do I exist? Oh, Paramartha Swami, I have a doubt now. Do I really exist? Will anybody ask the question? Not even mad people. Mad people also will not ask those questions. Mad people will ask, am I mad? They won't ask, do I exist? So that is always there. So that means I am not jadam. So since I am not jadam, all those are jadam, therefore I am sat. So I am sat, which means that I have proved previously. So after proving I am sat, Ramana Maharshi says, sat and chit go hand in hand. Without sat, without chit, sat, like sat will become jadam. Why will sat become jadam? Sat will become jadam because without chit, chit is ajadam. Ajade mai kalpitaha jadam. Ajadam is chit. So if chit is not there with sat, sat will become jadam. Sat is jadam means, what is jadam? Jadam means asat. Sat will become asat, which is untenable, which is something which is not logical. It is something totally wrong. So that means both go hand in hand. I am sat, therefore I have to be chit as well. So that's a simple reason. Chit or chaitanya means pulsation, sphuranam. The sphurti that I exist, that which experiences, that which says I exist, I exist, I exist, that is chit. And that chit is always there with us. We don't need anybody to say that chit is there. Of course, we don't concentrate. What does Vedanta accomplish? As Paramartha again and again reiterates, okay, this is something which has to be reiterated. Amma also reiterates the same thing. Balakrishna also says, one thing that a sadhaka has to always remember is that Vedanta doesn't give anything new. Vedanta doesn't create anything new. Vedanta says, you have forgotten that you are the self. So, remember now you are the self. That is only sadhana. Then what does Vedanta do? Remove that forgetting Brahman. Remove ajnanam. It is called ajnanam. Forgetting our nature. Not remembering our nature. We can term it in any different ways. There is no need of analyzing as to whether ajnanam is bhava vastu or abhava vastu and all those. We don't have to enter into all those high-end logic. It's very simple. Just remove the ignorance. Just know that you are the self. Even removing ignorance, we don't have to say all those. Know that you are the self. That's why Vedanta says, I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi Anusandhanam. Do Anusandhanam that I am Brahman. Of course, I am Brahman. Many people say, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. And all problems still exist. And when it comes to their own children, their own parents and all those, they still have n number of issues. So That is why we have to remember as to what is this Brahman's nature, what is my nature. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi becomes clear only when we know the terms. So it's simple, like if we have a sentence in front of us, if we have to know the meaning of the sentence, we have to know padam, each word that is there. A vakyam, if we have to understand a vakyam, we have to know padachedam, and then each padam, each pada's meaning, and then the relation between padas, all those. So that is why jahad lakshanam, ajahad lakshanam and all those are there. So aham and Brahman are one. Then who is this aham, who is this Brahman? This Brahman is that which alone exists. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. There cannot be anything clearer or said more clearly than that. And Krishna Ishvara comes to a lower level and says, Anityam Asukam Lokam. Okay, if you are averse to the word of Mithya, I know many people are averse to the word Mithya. Mithya means people will run away. Oh, Mithya. That's a tough thing. Asat. Asatyam, that is also a tough thing. So Krishna says Anityam. Okay, Anityam is also like Anityam. No, it gives a bad note. Anityam. No. So therefore Krishna says Asukam. So if you can't understand Anityam, if you are averse to the words of Anityam, Mithya, Asatyam and all, then Asukam. Everybody Asukam. Oh, in Malayalis will say Asukam. Oh, Asukam I know. Oh, you had some asugam, what did you have? Oh, I had like fever. That's why whenever people meet, oh, how are you? Sukam anu, are you fine? Are you happy? Sukam. So people know that. People can relate to that, nobody is averse to it. So asugam lokam, this lokam is asugam. Therefore, imam prapi bhajaswamam, therefore seek me. So that me is the substratum. What is this me? But na means matta paradaram nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. Oh, there is nothing different from me. My sarvam idam proktam. Protam. I am sorry. My Sanskrit is weak. So, protam sutre manigana iva. So, even as various beads are strung on a thread, that thread is the substratum. Thread is the basis. Thread is real. So, that thread is me. That thread is the self. Aham adishcha. Madhyam cha bhutanam antayeva cha yaccha kinchit jagat sarvam drishyate shruyate piva. All those statements we can remember. So that means, I am the substratum of this world. I am sukham, I am the substratum of this world. I am this world. Whatever is there is me only. So that Brahman, which always exists, which only exists, and we can also, if we want, we can also remember, yato vayamani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisam vishanti tad vijijnyasasva tad brahmeti. You know that to be Brahman from which this world has come, in which this world resides, on to which the world merges at the time of destruction. Know that. That is to be known. And that is Brahman. And that Brahman you are. So many people who just contemplate on I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman without remembering this, then that is a big mistake, that is a big fault, because without knowing that, somebody concentrates on Brahman or I am Brahman, there is no true knowledge. Without that true knowledge, without tameva vidvan amritaiha bhavati. So after knowing that, with that knowledge only a person can know, a person realizes. Without that there will be no realization. So it is like concentrating on anything, saying that I am Arnold Schwarzenegger, I am Arnold Schwarzenegger, I am Arnold Schwarzenegger, nothing will happen there. So we go to a bar and then say, oh, you guy, you fat guy, come here, I'm going to hit you now, I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. And if we try hitting him, that's it. For 2 days or 2 weeks, we will be in the hospital. So that won't help there. So we have to have proper knowledge and then concentrate. I am Schwarzenegger. Who is Schwarzenegger? That's not me. Then what is the point of concentrating or contemplating on I am Schwarzenegger? So that itself proves that Vedanta doesn't create anything new. Because I am Brahman, if we contemplate on some Brahman who is not me, it won't help. It is another illusion. In order to get rid of one illusion, create another illusion. So we go to the doctor and say, oh doctor, I have migraine. So the doctor will give a tablet and say, okay, now go home. So the migraine will go now, and then something else will come up. So heart attack, or there is a pain in my heart. The doctor will say, okay, you are having a heart attack, let me give you a tablet, let me give you an operation. And after the operation, then something else will come up, paralysis. So for paralysis treatment, something else will come up. So one illusion to remove another illusion. So that is how this jagat or this world is, or our life is now. So in order to remove one sorrow, we get into another sorrow. And we jump from one to another, one sorrow to another, and like that has continued from many, many births, jumping into a new body because this body becomes old, and in order to enjoy, so that continues, that goes on, it leads us nowhere. Finally, we end up suffering always. So that means Vedanta doesn't create anything new. I am already Brahman, therefore concentrate on that. You seem to have lost it. So it is like, you have an iPhone with you. Then like, why do you need a GPS? Oh, I was searching for a GPS because I didn't know this. Now you know, right? Use that for the GPS. You don't need a GPS. So similarly, so anyway, that is a simple way of explaining as to what Vedanta really accomplishes. So anyway, Sat and Chit go hand in hand. So if I am Sat, I have to be Chit. So here Lakshmidhara takes a negative approach. Often negative approaches are more powerful than positive. Than proving I am something, if we can prove that I cannot be anything else, that becomes stronger. So if we have to prove that I am Brahman, trying to prove that I am not the body, I am not anything that in the world, is more powerful than whatever remains behind. Avashesham, avashishta nyayam, or there is some nyayam for that. So whatever remains behind, as Sherlock Holmes would say, whatever, after everything has been ruled out, whatever remains behind, however improbable that may be, that is the only solution. So we find in Arthur Conan Doyle's lot of novels of Sherlock Holmes, that Sherlock Holmes uses this logic. It may be impossible that a crime has happened that way, but still he rules out everything that is possible, and whatever remains behind, it is improbable, it is impossible, but still it happened because of things which we don't really know. So the same approach is being taken up here. We know that negative approach, negative way of telling is more helpful. So rather than telling, if you study, you will get into IIT, that we may study, we may not study. So if the mother says, okay, if you look into TV, then you will end up with no job. Why no job, mother? Because if you don't get IIT, you won't get any job. And if you watch TV, you won't get into IIT. So rather than telling, if you study to get into IIT, don't watch TV, because then you will not get into IIT. Is more powerful. So surupameva me jnanam, my very nature is jnanam, na gunaha, it is not a guna, it is swarupam, it is not a quality. If it is a quality, so it is not a guna. How to prove it is not a guna? Take up all the ways in which it can be a guna and rule them out. So my nature is not my jnanam is not my quality, but it is my very nature. So why? I'll prove that jnanam cannot be guna. So that is a kind of a proper approach, or a perfect approach, than just saying I am. My very nature is jnanam. Ramana Maharshi takes that aspect there, but there also he says sattvam has to have, it is almost the same concept. Sattvam has to have chit or jnanam with it, else it will become asat. So that is also, there also it comes. And it's human nature to concentrate or to apprehend things when said in a negative perspective. So aham brahmasmi doesn't appeal to a lot of people. So when you say, okay, don't do this, don't do that, that appeals more, that helps more than aham brahmasmi. That's why even, of course, that is not the only reason why Mahatmas teaches aham brahmasmi at a later point of time, but that can be said to be one of the reasons. So anyway, na gunaha, it is not a guna, sa guno yadi. Yadi sa guno, Yadi, if that is a guna, anatmatvam asatvam va neya ajneyatvayoho pate. So if it is a guna, so if it is a quality, then that means it's a quality. So quality, what does quality do? Quality makes a dravya an object. Quality objectifies the dravya. So the quality of height objectifies the body by saying, okay, this body has so much height. So objectification happens, vishayikaranam. It makes the body a vishayam. So similarly, if my nature or my here means Atman, so Atman, why the word Atman is used maximum? We may have a doubt as to why this word Atman is used maximum. So Atman means Jiva or Aham, and all is with respect to individual, and Brahman is with respect to total. That which blends both those together is Atman. So Jiva Atman, Paramatman, Atman is common. So Atman means Advaitam. So if whenever we use the word Atman or Self, that means Advaitam. There is no I, or there is no Brahman there, or Ishvara. There is Advaitam meant there. So this, since Lakshmidara has already proven that both are exactly the same, so Atman can be used. So this Atman, or Aham, whatever is helpful to understand, this Atman doesn't have Jnanam or Chaitanyam as its nature, which means Chaitanyam or Jnanam is its Guna. So if it is Guna, then of course with Gunas, Guna will make it a Vishayam. So Vishayam, in this case, what is Vishayam? How does the Vishayam get affected by Jnanam? So the Vishayam of Jnanam is called Jnayam. So that means the question comes, does it objectify or not? So Jnayam, Ajnayam. So that means this Chaitanyam, if it is Guna, does it objectify the Atman or not? So objectification is Jnayam, Ajnayam, known, unknown. So knowledge can only lead to two kind of objects, known objects, unknown objects. So is the Atman known or the Atman unknown? Okay, then the Atman is known. Oh, you are falling into a trap. Why? If Atman is known, Atman cannot be known. Why? Atman is the subject of all objects. Oh, that is Vedantic concept. We don't accept that. Oh, it is a Shastric concept. This is the Shastra. The Shastra say. Where does the Shastra say? Yadvacha anabhiditam ena vag abhyudate tadeva brahmatvam viddhi naidam yadidam upasate yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha ashrutam. There are many shlokas we can find in the Shastras where the Atman is said to be beyond objectification, beyond being an object. It is the subject of all objects. It cannot be objectified at all. Naiva vacha namanasa praptum shakyo, praptum shakyo. Similarly, I forgot shlokas, but Mundaka Upanishad also has at the end many shlokas with respect to the Atman being beyond all objectification or objectifying. I don't know the right word. Maybe objectification itself is not a word, but that's fine. So, Atman, if the Atman becomes a Jnayam, so as you say, Atman is Jnayam. Jnayam means it becomes an Anatma. So, Jnayam, whatever is known is an Anatma. And what is Atma? Atma is Ajnayam. So, Ajnayam, Ajnayam. Ajnayam means it becomes Sat. Asat. It becomes unreal. We don't have anything which is Ajnayam. So, here it is not Ajnayam as well. Now, Atman is, if Atman is not Jnayam, Atman cannot be Jnayam, because Jnayam means Anatma. So, is the Atman Asat? So we can go through whatever Vidyaranya says in the third chapter of Panchadashi. Swayam eva anubhutitva vidyate na anubhavyata. Atman swayameva anubhutitva, swayam prakasham, it exists by itself. Therefore, we can't know it. It's not because it doesn't exist. Ato asya mahabhut vedyatvam sva asatvam natu abhipheyate. I think maybe I'm forgetting shlokas. This shloka might be wrong, whatever I have quoted. So anyway, the Atman is swayam prakasham, it doesn't require any object, therefore it cannot be objectified. It doesn't mean that the Atman is unreal. It's not asat. It is not shunyam. So Atman cannot be nyayam. Nyayam means anatma. So then the only option that is left is Atman is ajnyayam. So ajnyayam means what? Asat. Ajnyayam means Atman will become asat. So are you, wait a minute, you only said just now that Atman is not asat. So Atman is not asat. Why Atman is not asat? Swayam prakasham. Swayam prakasham means swayam jyoti. What is swayam jyoti? Swayam chaitanyam. So that means when chaitanyam is part of the Atman, then we say that the Atman is nyaya ajnyayam. It is beyond nyayam and ajnyayam. It is not an object. It is the subject of all objects. But in this case, you don't accept that the Atman is Chaitanyam. Therefore, Atman has to be either known or unknown. It cannot be the subject of all objects. Whether known or unknown objects, subject is beyond known and unknown. Why? It's a subject. Known and unknown or name and name is for objects. Vishayas, this is the subject, Vishayi. It is a vishayi, it is a subject, it is not an object. So you don't accept that, therefore, ajnyayam, if it is ajnyayam, asat, it will become asat. So anatmatvam, nyaya, nyayam. So patet, patet means will lead to. So will lead to. So if we say that the Atman is guna, then there are two alternatives. One is nyayam, ajnyayam. So nyayatvam, ajnyayatvam. So, nyayatvam means becoming a nyaya. So, Atman becomes a nyaya vastu. Atman becomes a known object. If Atman is a known object, anatmatvam, the Atman will become anatma. And ajnyayatvam, if you say it is an unknown object, then asatvam, it will become asat. It will become non-existent. So, whatever is not known is doesn't really exist. How can you say that whatever is not known doesn't exist? Very simple. If we don't see anything, if we don't know anything, then we say it is non-existent. So here known is not just seeing. So here known means all the various pramanam through any of the means of knowledge. It's not one or the other way. All the means of knowledge. It can be any of the means of knowledge, not just one. So through any means of knowledge, it is not ajnyayam, it is not unknown. Right? If it is unknown, then it will become asat. So something is like whatever we don't see, we can still infer it. We know all those pramanam and all, shat pramanam and all, we already know. So don't have to go through all those. So anyway, the Atman cannot be nyayam and ajnyayam because both the alternatives will lead to the Atman being not an Atman. So in one case the Atma becomes an Atma, which is untenable. In one case the Atma becomes unreal, that is also untenable because the Atma is real. How is the Atma real? It's already been proven in the last shloka that the Atman is unreal. So the Atma cannot be Nyayam and Ajnyayam because both will lead to the Atma being not an Atma, which is untenable, which means that our initial assumption that Jnanam is a Guna for the Atman has to be negated. So we have to restate our statement of the Atman having Jnanam as its Guna. So that's why it is just a Swarupam. Of course, if we want more logic, more detailed analysis of this, you can go through the commentary of Rasa Abhivyanjika, where he enters into a lot of logical arguments for the Nyaya Shastram and Navya Nyayam as well. But we don't need all those logic and all. Simple logic is Atma. The Atman is always there. It always pulsates. So that which always pulsates is Chit. Chit is something which always pulsates. Pulsation is there for some time, that is not Chit. So something pulsates for a few moments and then vanishes, that is not Chit. Chit means it always pulsates. Chit means pulsation at all times. And that pulsation we do experience ever experience it. Sadabhami, I always shine, I always shine as existence. Pulsation is always there, that Svaranam is always there. So if that Svaranam is always there, then that means Chit is part of me. When do I feel the light not there in me? So if we say that the light is not there in me, Lakshmi, that I have already answered that. Na prakashe aham ityuktir yat prakashe ika bandhanat swaprakasham tamatmanam aprakashah kadam sprashet. Whenever we say, I don't know, I am not shining, I am not happy and all those there is an adhyasam, there is a superimposition of this body, the mind and the ego, the body, all those become the I. And when they become the I, the real I is veiled, and there is an adhyasam, there is a mix of both, and when there is a mix of both, the qualities will be mixed or interchanged. So the sat and chit aspect will be there a little bit, but still the other aspects of the body also get into it, and that's when we say, I don't know. Whenever we say, I don't know, that I is always there. That I is always there, aham. That aham is ever there. So irrespective of whether this sorrow is there or happiness is there, I am always there. There is no time when this aham is not there. That's why Ramana Maharshi used to say, find out this I, go beyond and find out this I. And Ramana Maharshi also says, gives the same concept of the Atman being beyond jnaya jnayam jnana varjita ajnana heena chit jnana mastikim jnatum antaram. This Atman doesn't have any jnanam, it cannot have any jnanam, because there cannot be any jnanam to know the Atman. Why? Because there is no jnatra jnana antara bhava atreyo natu asattaya. There is no way to know this Atman. There is no jnata to know the Atman. There is no subject to know the Atman. There is no jnanam, the medium to know the Atman. There is no jnatra jnanam. So jnayam, if Atman has to become a jnayam, there has to be a jnata, there has to be a jnanam in the Tripati. So both are not there. There cannot be anything apart from the Atman. So therefore the Atman is not known. But still it is jnana varjita. There is no jnanam for the Atman. Ajnana heena chit. This chit is beyond ajnanam as well. It is beyond jnanam, ajnanam. So that is why Krishna also says the same thing in the 13th chapter of Gita, where he says that this Atman is beyond sat and asat. So beyond sat and asat. So there Sat is not the Swarupa Sat, but it is normal existence. So it is, this Atman is beyond Jnanam and Ajnanam. It ever exists. If it ever exists, automatically it has to be ever Chit. Of course, the commentary also explains, gives various ways to explain this in the 25th Shloka, where all three are said to be together with the Atman. So we'll discuss as to Sat and Chit being together and all, a little bit of logic in the 25th shloka. But for now, the Atman is Chit, the Atman is Sat, Satchidanandam. Sat and Chit have been proven to be part of the Atman, to be not part. Swarupam, very nature of the Atman, that is something which is which the Shastras say. The Shastras do say, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma, and I am Brahman is Svatma Tattvamasi Shveta Ketu. So we know that I am Sat and Chit. So the Shastras say, it is a logic also proves that I have to be Sat because I always exist. I have to be Chit because I always experience my own existence. Therefore, I have to be Chit as well. And then it is, it is a matter of experience as well, in Shushiv experience, aparoksha anubhavam. It's something an anubhavam, aparoksha anubhavam, is a special type of anubhavam, wherein there is no object to be known. There is, in that anubhavam, there is only the subject. The subject itself becomes the object. So can there be an experience where the object itself is an object? So such an experience means there is no experience. It is a figurative way of saying that there is an experience where the subject and the object are the same. It is not an experience, it's an inexistence, if there is a word like that. We can say it is an, sorry, inexperience. No, inexperience, there is already another word for it. So it is a non-experience. It is a non-experience, but an experience. Which means so why do we say like it is a non-experience? What does that really mean? That means that it doesn't require any external involvement. So something which is self-consistent, something which is self-efficient. So this experience, aparoksha anubhavam, is something which is self-efficient, that there need not be any other jnanam, there need not be any other jnayam. It is self-existent. It is like, okay, am I really self-existent? I don't think I am self-existent. I never experienced that. Sure, you don't experience it? Yeah, 100% sure I don't experience it. Oh, wow. What, are you joking? Like, if I experience it, I would know it. Do you sleep? Of course I sleep. Don't you think like the dream world is self-existent? What do we have in the dream world? Nothing. We don't have anything externally. Nobody comes and says, okay, dream now. Okay, do this now, I'll pay you. Nothing like that. The dream world is self-existent. It is there by itself. Everything happens by itself. Self-existence. That is why the jiva in the dream is called Tejasan. So Tejas, he is Swayam Prakasham there. So that clearly shows that it is self-existent. The Atman is self-existent. I am self-existent. So we just have to remember our nature to be Brahman. And then, what about this Jagat? Oh, Jagat will be there. That Jagat which doesn't exist, it doesn't matter whether it is there or not, it is experienced or not. When experience is known to be not true, then doesn't matter if we experience it. So when somebody kills us, shoots us, it doesn't matter whether a person shoots us or not. It matters when we know that the bullet is not real. So if we know that the bullet is not real, then it doesn't matter whether the person shoots or not. It doesn't matter. So that means this world will continue. Everything will continue the same way as it happens today. But this knowledge will make us realize that I am that one Sachidananda Vastu. So if I am that one Sachidananda Vastu, I don't depend on anything else, then there is only Anandam for me. Nandati, Nandati, Nandatyeva. So life will become smooth. Life will become blissful. So with regards to the third entity or third nature of the Atman, it's not a third nature, it's a wrong word, but figuratively, third nature of the Atman of Anandam, third aspect we can see, that Lakshmi that I will be proving that in the next shloka, which we will see in the next day. May Amma bless us so that we may be able to use all these logic, these a little bit high end, but still, if we put a little effort, if we initially understand it, it is very simple. It is simpler than a lot of logic, a lot of concepts that are out there in the world. It is very simple. So, in the last day, when I went to a MACD drive-through, there was no speaker. There is only a screen, big screen which shows the options that are available, and that itself has a speaker in it, that itself has a mic in it. So knowing that, knowing all those concepts are tough. It is tough to know all those, but this concept is very simple. Even as Balakrishna said, even a child can understand. It's very simple to understand. So may Amma help us to understand this so that we can change our life and make it blissful. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.